Very good morning, Mr. David. Mr. David, odrota irokoku, irauku atomafuma, ushingo atomafuma. So, Mr. David, come and catch the frogs. Yeah, it's raining over this side. You know, and thanks. Let me thank you for handing over the mic on this side. But I'm inviting you to come and mushimbaka munomafuma. Okay, irauku atomafuma this side. Okay. All right. Good morning, Namibia. And good morning, my dear listener, wherever you are tuning in from any place from this beautiful, beautiful, land of the brave. Well, thanks for joining us this morning. And our time is about 8 minutes. It's about 2 minutes actually past the hour of eight. Thanks for joining us. And it's always a pleasure. So always a pleasure to have you. And joining us, especially this time of time. All right. So my name is Michael Chiavelli, and this is Unpacking the Day, and you are your daily dose of what is really going on in terms of business, economic and political news. So every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends and numbers that are making headlines. So we keep it clear here. And always curious, asking the question that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We are here to unpack what others are saying and spark a meaningful conversation so you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space. This is your platform to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. And if you're just joining us, welcome, welcome. And you're not late. You're not late at all. So just get on board, get in class. So and before we go through, before we get into the our stories for the days, what we do here first, we look at into history. We go into history and check, and just look at what happened in Africa's, what happened in today, what happened today's, in African history. So good morning. Good morning, Africa, and welcome to on this day in Africa. So today is March 26th. Let's take a journey back in time. And remember some powerful moment that shaped our beautiful, beautiful, beautiful continent. So our first stop takes us back to 1943, over 8 years ago, right? And that's when something quietly but dangerously took root in South Africa. Okay, a newspaper called The Burger published an article using a word for the first time that would soon become infamous across the world. Do you know what the word is? Apartheid. Now, it was written by an Afrikaner journalist known as Davi. Meneer Davi. At that time, it might have seemed like just another political opinion piece. But this was the beginning of putting a name to racial separation. Now, a name that would later definitely bring pain, struggle, and eventually a powerful, powerful, powerful resistance. Yeah, Davi is the one who first used that word, apartheid. All right. Now, let's move to March 26, 1984, a sad day for West Africa. Ahmed Sekou Touré, the very first president of Guinea, passed away. Now, if you know your history, if you know your African history, you know this was a giant of a man. Now, he stood up to French colonial rule and said, no more, no more, no more. And in 1958, he led Guinea to become the first French colony in Africa to vote for complete independence. So he once famously told the French president, we prefer freedom in poverty to riches in chain. He said, my friend, don't worry about us. We prefer freedom in poverty to riches in chain. Well, well, since then, we remain in poverty. So, yeah, love him or question his method. Sekou Touré helped write the story of a free Africa. But March 26 also carries some scars. You know, in 1990, in South Africa as well, the town of Sebokeng became a site of tragedy. A site of tragedy. People had enough. You know, there's higher rent, unfair treatment, the crushing weight of apartheid, you know. So those, it happened in 1990, but these things are still happening. You know, it's higher rent, unfair treatment, all these things are still happening. But they protested, and the police opened fire. They fired. Life bullet, my friend. At least 14 lives were lost, and over 380 people were injured. So fathers, mothers, brothers, sisters, gone, you know. It was a painful reminder of the highest, a painful reminder of the higher price people paid for freedom. And finally, let's go to Mali. On the same day in 1991. Now, they call it Martyrs' Day. And for good reason, actually, after weeks of protests where nearly 300 people were killed by government forces, the military stepped in. There was this General ATT, General Amadou Toumani Touré. So General ATT, you know, led a coup that removed President Moussa Traoré from power. But here, what is remarkable, actually, this is what is remarkable, because instead of holding on to power, General ATT actually set up a transitional government and paved the way for real democratic election in 1992. Now, the old president, what happened to him? He was convicted for his crimes, but his death sentence was later changed to life imprisonment. So, well, Mali chose a path forward, and not through revenge, but through a rebuilding. All right, so that's our On This Day. So there you have it, my dear listeners. Thank you for tuning in to On This Day in Africa. 10 minutes past the hour of 8. And thanks for joining us. If you're just joining us now, good day, actually. Very nice weather this morning. It has been dropping a little bit, but it rained heavily over the night. Hopefully, it gives us a little bit of, we were worried a little bit, especially those of us on this side of the world. Our crops were starting to look different. Yeah, so we needed it to come back just to strengthen the productivity. So, yeah, we're looking forward. This has been a really good rain. I hope, you know, it has been widely raining across the region. Oh, across the country. Let me not be, discriminating. But some regions don't really, it's not true. Don't even say it. Okay. All right. So yeah, let's, now, my dear listener, my dear friends, it's time for our thought for the day. It's our time for our thought for the day. You know, there is a simple proverb that say a river does not flow backward. A river does not flow backwards. So when you think about it, it's exactly how life works. A river keeps moving forward. No matter how many rocks it hits, no matter how many tense it makes. You know? It does. It doesn't go back to where it started. And neither do we. Neither human being. We don't. Life is the same. For us as human being, life is the same. Eh? We can't undo yesterday. So we cannot undo yesterday. We can't go back and fix every mistake that we do in the past. But what we can do is keeping moving forward. Is keeping moving forward. Learn the lessons, take the growth, and keep going. Keep going. Because just like at the river, your journey is not about going back. It's about where you are flowing next. It's always about where you are flowing next. So today, don't get stuck in the past, okay? Don't get stuck in the past. Focus on the direction you are going. Because forward is the only way life flows. Forward is the only way life flows. And that's our thought for the day. Thanks for joining me on that. All right. So, good morning. Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome. Good morning, welcome. So our time is about 30 minutes. 13 minutes past the hour of 8. All right, what do we have this morning? In a short period of time, we're going to talk to someone. We have a very interesting topic to discuss this morning. So there's an upcoming 2026 Kavango Summit. Okay, it's a very important platform which aim to merge Kavango's rich cultural heritage with modern economic opportunities. So there will be, you know, there will be youth, leaders, investors, you know, this summit will ensure that these stakeholders collaborate to transform the region's challenges into a future of shared prosperity. Please don't miss that. And let's unpack the 2026 Kavango Summit with me here when we get to our visitor this morning. And after that, your reaction to the interview, and also, if we have time, we're also going to look at the public health infrastructure project. And these are the district hospitals. 20 years ago. So 20 years ago, it has been announced, you know, Namibia will be, creating or, have this project. And yes, many years later, 20 years later, this project still a distant, unfulfilled dreams. So we're going to look at that as well.
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the U in UNAM is you.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna imatina omjo. Chikao shafasa na nana longeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyawo ota ingongoti samweni. Anangeshifa ya Namibia ombito ombwa na wa olonjika. Seitha nina omayaguro nirandisoma yoe yongeshifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende pimemeha uka kombanga nina. Kara omupashi pareki uimopo yomo programa detu. Moambo, dengira selma, onora heta tuimu datu datu heari hamano tano oniaji Eagle FM the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional, and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Yes, you are on Eagle FM, but joining us on Unpacking the Day. Good morning, Namibia. Welcome to Unpacking the Day, where we sit down with everyday Namibians doing extraordinary things for our nations. So this morning, we turn our spotlight to the Kavango region, a land blessed with mighty Kavango River, rich soils, and vibrant people. Yet behind this beauty lies a pressing story. So youth unemployment, undeveloped infrastructure, and an economy that has not fully awakened. But something is shifting. Something is shifting. A movement is building. Will Kavango become the next big investment hotspot? Joining us this morning is a man at the heart of this transformation, Mr. Patrick Shiemo Kashera, a chairperson of the Kavango People's Forum. So he's here to talk about the upcoming 2026 Kavango Summit, a groundbreaking gathering that promises to merge cultural pride with economic promise. Mr. Kashera, good morning and welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Good morning, Mr. Mike. Good morning, Namibia. Good morning, everyone in Kavango.
All right. Before we get into the nitty-gritty, you know, about this upcoming the 2026 Kavango Summit, you know, your summit is called Looking into the Soul of the Kavango. So what sparked the idea of the summit and why now?
Yeah, thank you very much, Mr. Mike. This summit was sparked by a growing conviction that the Kavango people must stop waiting for development. Mm-hmm. Instead, others their own futures.
Yeah.
It will be the others of their own futures. For decades, our region's potential has been defined by others.
Mm.
Often misunderstood, sometimes ignored.
Yeah.
The timing is right now because our peoples are demanding dignity, fairness, and opportunity in ways that cannot be postponed.
Yeah.
This summit is our collective awakening and a reclamation of our voice, identity, and economic agency.
Yeah. So you said the your development has always been, you know, determined by others. Why? What do you mean by that?
What I mean by others is when we talk about representations.
Yeah.
The reason why we are eager to have representation in position of government.
Mm.
In most cases, you find that individuals who come from that particular jurisdictions or area, they understand it better than somebody who stays far.
Mm-hmm.
Let me give an example. If someone from Ketmas will not have a deep understanding of what is happening in Kavango,
yeah.
So that you'll have deep understanding of what's happening in Ketmashuap.
Mm.
So therefore, the reason why we say it determined by others.
Yeah.
Somebody will not make a policy for Kavango if you don't know the area and how big or the vastity or what the people need.
Yeah.
So you need to understand the area for you to set up or to seek advices and be able to set up a clear policy. policy that will unpack the developmental needs of that particular region.
Yeah. You mentioned about identity, how that identity would shape, you know, the kind of business that you want to attract or project that you want to attract. So how do you see Kavango's cultural identity shape the kind of business you want to attract?
Yeah, Kavango culture is rooted in resilience.
Yeah.
Craftsmanship. If you are to see when you are driving from the heart of Namibia, Windhoek, you go to Zambezi, alongside the road between from Kachina Kachi, that area, you see a lot of craft things that are being done there. The crafted elephant, the crafted animal, all those things.
Yeah.
Okay, what I mean here is that the Kavango culture is rooted in resilience, craftsmanship, communal cooperation, and spiritual depths.
Yeah.
We want business that respect this identity.
Mm-hmm.
Industry that align with our values, including ethical forestry, cultural tourism, agro-processing, traditional medicine research, river-based innovation, and creative arts.
Yeah.
We are not inviting investors to change who we are. We are inviting them to grow with who we are.
Yeah. So, like you mentioned, cultural, traditional medicine, for example, do we have this, you mentioned also craftsmanship. So do we have this on the show in terms of, like, when you come, we ourselves are kind of like, we have already, you know, sectors established in some way that investors can be able to see and said, okay, this is where I can be able to invest or something like that.
This is an untapped product,
mm-hmm.
which is actually being used traditionally.
Yeah.
If you have to speak, for example, deep in the village, we have women who are trained in midwifery by their ancestors, by their elders.
Mm.
They use traditional medicine to assist these women.
Mm.
So some of this, why we might have deaths in the hospital, specifically for delivery mothers, due to the fact that they are missing the opportunity of integrating this cultural medicine, which is applicable in use in our daily society. So this is the aim now for the Kavango People Forum, to see how much we can untap and invest in this discovering this certain medicine which can actually help. We also have, for example, way whereby traditionally we prevent snake bites, those poison to spread in the body.
Yeah.
Traditionally, they have this medicine, but yet to be untapped and put it in the market. We want to seek ways in which we can invest into it,
mm-hmm.
so that people are being saved.
So now, maybe from the very beginning, let's look at, you know, what is the summit intent to address by looking at what are the biggest challenges Kavango is facing today, and how can this summit help address those?
Yeah, our challenges are structural.
Yeah.
Chronic underinvestment, youth unemployment, inadequate infrastructures, and the marginalization of local talent. This summit addresses them by convening decision makers, traditional leaders, experts, youth entrepreneurs to forge actionable strategy.
Yeah.
Not abstract theory, a platform where local reality meets national policy. I will assure you that at the summit, there are already two traditional leaders who are homebound, who have agreed and show their interest to speak at the summit.
Yeah.
So that is why now you can see here we have traditional leaders as part of this activity that we are trying to do.
Just a quick on that. How important is it, you know, to involve traditional leader? And this is now alongside with the official that you have mentioned, and possibly investors as well. How important is that?
Yeah, in Kavango, Development without traditional leadership is development without legitimacy.
Yeah.
Our leader with God, land, culture, and community cohesion.
Yeah.
Their guidance ensures that investment is ethical, sustainable, and rooted in collective well-being. They are not ceremonial figures.
Yeah.
They are custodian of our development vision. We respect them so much.
Yeah. So there's also another very people that should we respect them so much. This is our young, our youth, and we have an issue of youth unemployment. It's a big concern in the country, but even worse in Kavango. So how will the summit give young Namibian in Kavango a real seat at the decision-making table rather than just participating?
Wonderful, wonderful. Even when you are planting a tree, you expect an offspring to come out there.
Yeah.
So in this case, we are saying youth will not be observers.
Mm.
They will be co-authors of the summit resolutions. We are creating youth-led panels,
yeah,
membership pipeline, innovation showcase, and representation in final decision-making committees. Kavango cannot rise if its largest demographic remains on the margin. I will assure you with a statistical figure, we have over 60% youth population specifically in Kavango.
Mm.
So that's why we have to say Kavango cannot rise if its largest demographic remains on the margin.
Yeah. Yeah, no. So the other group of people of our population that often, you know, marginalized, it's women. So what role do women play in Kabango's, first of all, in Kabango's development, and how will the summit actually include them?
Women are the backbone of Kabango's social and economic life. Farmers, traders, educators, guardians of cultures. The summit elevates them through women-driven policy dialogues, investment channel for female entrepreneurs, and leadership seat in core committees. I can assure you that we, although the number of speakers, if you look at the speakers, you see the majority, they are male. But in our leadership, we have more than five who are in the structures. And then, the true development is impossible without the full participation of women.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, no, that's, and the other things that we could quickly going to have a commercial, just a short commercial, and then we'll come back. Just hold on, eh?
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is EagleFM.
Great news. Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just $36 Namibian a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download it.
All right, welcome back. Yeah, so now let's look at what you hope, you know, really to achieve when it comes to the sectors that you want to focus or that you think hold the most promise for Kavango. For which sectors or which industry do you think hold the most promise for Kavango's economic future?
Yeah, thank you very much. We have green scheme here. We have green scheme here. We are to talk about agro processing. maize, millet, beans, and fruit. Let us say, Islamic meal is serious in production, it is full production. They need to have a processing plant here, whereby this maize, millet, beans, and other things can hit Namibian shelf.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have rivers, fishery and river-based economies, sustainable timber and furniture manufacturing, cultural and ecotourism, renewable energy, our solar system, the sun, is hitting nicely here.
Yeah.
We can have renewable energy where we can invest into solar power plant.
Yeah.
Which I believe Namibia is dearly looking in that. And if we are serious with development in terms of preserving energy, we need to invest into renewable energy. And Namibia will not even have problem. Okay. And then we have ICT and digital services. We are looking at both health and education innovation hubs. This industry aligns with our natural strengths and can create thousands of jobs. Yes.
So now, let's take, for example, the green scheme, and Namibia have been hoping that, you know, Kavango, for example, become the food basket of Namibia. So the green scheme haven't really lived up to their potential over the years. What would the summit do to make sure that this actually the schemes improve and live up to the expectation of the nation?
Thank you very much. This summit is also, we are talking about trying to bring up policy. Because we live here, we know what is happening, and we are the ones to set up policy for everyone who will come and live in Kavango. And we are the one to set up this policy and also advise the government on how the things should be done.
Yeah.
In the summit, we have a speaker who is actually concentrating on decentralization. So it will be unpacked nicely during the summit. Let me just give you a hint on that one.
Yeah.
The reason why we are seeing that things are not working properly, because decentralization in Namibia, specifically in Kavango, is just on paper. It's not in reality. You find that when we went to make our research, basically in those green schemes, the decisions are made in Ventuk. Somebody in Ventuk must tell you what to do. He does not know what is actually happening. I will give an example what actually happened, what happened at Mangiti, media since the story. It was all over.
Yeah.
So somebody sitting in the office does not know the condition, does not know what is happening, does not even come down here. But you are the one making decision. When somebody who is a manager in that particular farm telling you, this is what I need, this is the challenge I'm having, this is what I'm facing, you are seeing the person as a crying baby.
Yeah.
But then, in the end, the improductivity of workers, the improductivity of this manager, is a blame game on the people on the ground. But then we are not looking at these people in the office, sitting comfortably, enjoying the acorn. So we want decentralization to be realistic. That's why we have, during the summit, we have a speaker who is going to talk about decentralization. He's going to unpack more on this, how it's affecting the region. Not only in agriculture, it's also affecting education, because people will sit somewhere making decisions for somebody here. If they're making decisions, they must come down and see to it what is really happening. Somebody's crying, but you are seeing the person as a crying baby. No, come down and see to it. And when we talk about decentralization, don't make it as it looks like some other people are spies. So some other people are not trusted. If you entrusted Namibian people and see them equally develop, equally contribute of development, see to it that you treat them equally, you treat them based on the policy that you set to preserve the economy of the country. But the moment you look at the Kavango as, I don't know how they regard those official or whatever, but all I can tell you is that decentralization is the one which is affecting major development here for it not to excel as it's expected. Yeah.
So do you see this as a pattern that is happening all over in the country, or do you think this is particular and peculiar to the Kavango region?
I see it uneven, but mostly affecting particularly Kavango region.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So now, the summit, many summits end with good ideas on papers. Some of the things that you have highlighted that will be discussed in the summit. How will you make sure this summit lead to some action? What step will be taken to ensure that summit ideas actually translate into real policies and projects?
Oh, your questions are hitting, but yeah, I'll try to get them there. All right, thank you. We are designing a post-summit action secretariat.
Yeah.
Quarterly progress review and a transparency accountability dashboard.
Mm.
Every commitment will be tied to timeline. Responsible parties and measurable outcomes. This is not a talk shop. It is a contract with our people.
Yeah. All right. So now, I think there has been probably there are a lot of stakeholders that are involved in organizing this. Are there partnership with other regions or even international investors on the horizons?
Yes, we are engaging other regions, SADC partners, interest group in agriculture, energy, and tourism. But all partnership must honor one principle. Development must empower, not exploit, the people of Kavango.
Mm.
We have people who came from this area, Namibians who live in different countries like Gambia, South Africa, Botswana, in support of this initiative.
Yeah.
And we are busy talking to, that's why we have specifically talk about SADC partners. They are talking to individuals or business partners that can come and invest in this country or in Kavango.
Yeah. So there have been, you know, not survey or maybe studies or findings that investors are highly concentrated around cities like Windhoek and Wavish Bay. So many investors are cautious about remote regions. What guarantees can you offer? You know, what guarantees can you offer them about stability and returns? For them now to, you know, to consider investing or feel attracted to invest in Kavango.
Mr. Mike, I believe you might be one of the investors. Okay, this is what we are offering you. we offer predictable traditional governance structures.
Yeah.
Community buy-in, clear land process, and sector-specific opportunity study.
Yeah.
In which investor will find stability where community feel respected.
Hmm.
When people are partners, not spectators, projects succeed.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So, yeah. When it comes to regions, sometimes there are infrastructure challenges. You know, for example, road are not as good as maybe in cities like Windhoek and others. So electricity is unreliable, internet, and that sometimes those things actually deter the investment. So how will the summit address the current now infrastructure challenges you are experiencing especially in Kavango?
I must honestly tell you that we have written letters to these government officials, councillors, chairperson of village councils, mayors, and all the stakeholders. We invited them.
Yeah.
And other politicians, political figures, and academic scientists, analysts, all those. We invited them.
Mm.
So the summit will push for a priority infrastructure compact focusing on roads, electricity expansions, rural internet, and renewable energy corridors.
Yeah.
We aim to align our regional needs with national budgeting, ensuring Kavango is no longer at the periphery of planning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, this is something I mostly talk about, that I think we need a community based kind of an organization, or could be also social civil society. And I see this summit kind of like a watchdog in reinforcing, you know, government project and project that government intend to establish in certain regions. Would you kind of see that as a role as well for this body?
You're right. You're correct. Very correct. Yes.
All right. Now, in your view, what does success for the summit look like? Let's say a year from now. How would you measure the success of the summit?
Yes, thank you very much. Success is at least the three major project breaking ground: clear use and human investment pipeline, critical international and governmental cooperation, and noticeable shift in how Kavango is perceived from forgotten to forward moving community, feeling hopefully engaged and heard. Because currently now, Kavango, majority of Kavango people feel that they are not heard.
Yeah.
You have seen a lot of demonstration have been happening here. Petition have been delivered to different offices.
Yeah.
But then the voice of the community, the voice of the people were ignored. So that's why people need to be heard through this summit. We project that our people must feel hopefully engaged as well as to be heard, not always just to go in the street.
Yeah. When you're talking about that, you need to be heard, you know, who do you have in your summit? Have you invited now more prominent people who could be the right people to hear what you have to say?
Wonderful. One of our speaker, like the keynote speaker, one of the distinguished and respected person, Professor Joseph Disho, who have wisdom, knowledge, and history of this region and Namibia in particular, in general.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and when it comes to government personnel or officials and investors, who are the other people, or maybe from those sectors that you have invited?
Wonderful. We talk about the Hompas. We are already clear that we have two slots for Hompas who are going to speak, Homba informers who are going to speak. And then we also invited the governors and the councillors. It's up to them to decide whether they are going to come, but we send the invitation. Yeah. So this is why we are saying that we want the people's voice to be heard. And when we talk about distinguished or prominent figures, if we talk about the governor, is the principal head of the region. If we talk about the two regions, we have sent letters to both governors.
Mr. Patrick, we quickly go and have a break, and then we come back to this and also wrap up here.
Wahara kukufambinga mesindana joshimara kuzaponga wabi umeungu hitatu ukapumbanda. Shangika ano mbundoe etanga. Mama tigathana wotza ya kuku Easter Tournament. Choro taika karako mmasiku watatu. Sibuwa kamano wapi umtuwa wotungu. Poka pareke tanga wotza ya kuku Mehike District. Umaudano kwa unjuka. Adhanate yuka opoya kareri kuhi umvura umeungu ndatu na tanu. Mwata avuro kusindana ushimara shumara umeungu kamano na tanu kwa umuma. Changita ano mbundoe nina. Kia uvirume numatiri gane na minungu tanu. Kunarono kita tunoime, oimenone, ombariari, ontano, ondatu no hama. Nenge kudasuva, konamano kita tunoime, ujeari nondatu, datu heari, ongoi, nondatu heari.
All right, welcome back. So you were just explaining, you know, the variety of speakers and people that I have invited. So yeah, if you want to finish the point you were making, so you're most welcome. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that one is clear. Mm-hmm. I think maybe we can go to the next question.
Yeah. Now, my next question is just, like, if you could pick, like, a quick win, you know, for Kavango in the next, let's say, for example, in the next 6 or 12 months, what would it be?
May you repeat the question?
Now, so if I'm saying from the summit now, if you could now pick one, let's say, for example, a quick win from this Kavango summit, you know, okay, in the next 12 months or 6 months, you know, what would it be? Yeah.
Yeah, a full functional Kavango investment desk.
Yeah.
A one-stop center to coordinate investors, community project, youth initiatives, and SME. This will immediately unlock growth and confidence.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, before I let you go, what is your final message you want every listeners listening right now to take home this morning?
Wonderful. I want to first invite everyone who's listening, everyone in the heart for the Kavango region in particular, and Namibia in general, to see that we have a prosperity country or prosperity region where development flourish.
Yeah.
I would like to leave this message that Kavango is not poor. It is under-recognized. Our peoples are not waiting for rescue.
Mm.
We are rightful to restore our dignity. The summit is not an event. It is a declaration that the Kavango soul is awake.
Yeah.
Determined and ready to build a future worth of our history, our culture, and our children. I thank you. On the 28th of March 2026, this coming Saturday, from 8 o'clock until 1700,
mm-hmm.
we are going to have this summit organized under the leadership and organizations of Kavango People Forum. We are ready to unpack those who did not have any clear information regarding this. They can reach out to me at 081-3877-504, Mr. Patrick Shimokashira, the chairperson of Kavango People Forum, or you can come and listen and hear and conquer question. Your question will receive answer. Thank you very much, Kavango and Namibia in general.
All
thank
right.
you, Mr. Mike.
Mr. Patrick Kashera, thank you for taking us through this exciting vision, and it's clear that Kavango is ready to shine, and the summit seems like a real game changer for the youth, investors, and the community alike. So we wish you and the Kavango People's Forum all the best as you turn this vision into a reality. So thank you, Mr. Kashera.
You're welcome, sir.
All right.
Yes, that was Mr. Patrick Kashera, the chairperson of the Kavango People's Forum, talking about sharing about the upcoming, the 2026 Kavango Summit. So there you have it. If you want to be part of that summit, make sure he has actually left his number. You must contact Mr. Patrick Kashera. His telephone number is 081-387-7504. 081-387-7504. So, what is your take? What is your reaction? What is your contribution? What do you think about this initiative? What do you think about this initiative? Would you like your town to do the same thing? So we're probably going to follow up later after the summit to just find out how did it go. And so now, would you think this is a good initiative where now the community, you know, decide to rise up and said enough is enough? There are so many things that we see that are going on which we are not happy about. But we also have to take, you know, our own development in our own hands. So that's what this summit is all about. So now you can come through and have your reaction. Our telephone number is 08-08-333-66-091. 08-333-66-091.
Omutiha kutekirwa kaguna ii matina omjo. Chikao shafa sana nana longeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moya o, ota ingongotisa mwene. Anangeshifa ya Namibia, ombito ombwa na wa olonjika. Seitha nina omayakuro nirandito mwa yoe, yongeshifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe 20 pimemeha uka kombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yu mo programa detu. Moambo, dengira soma, konara hita tuimu. Datu ndatu, heari hamano tano, oni aji. Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, welcome back, welcome back. Yeah, and we just concluded the an interview with Mr. Patrick Shiemo Kashera, the chairperson of the Kavango's People's Forum, who was just giving us the download of the upcoming 2026 Kavango Summit, which is actually a groundbreaking gathering that promises to basically emerge, you know, cultural pride, as he said at the beginning, with economic pride, with economic opportunities that are available in the Kavango region. So it's also, you know, I think some of the ideas that are coming out, it's really like it's about that we shouldn't be sidelined anymore. I think it's a feeling that the Kavango region feels that they are more sidelined, and the decision are made for them. That's according now to Mr. Kashera. So it's a time that we create a platform, an environment where we come together as people in the region and decide our future and decide our fate, if that's the case. There's so much that this summit promise. And if you want to be part of that, if you are in Kavango, for example, this coming Saturday, the summit, will be taking place. So make sure that you attend that and be part of that great event that is taking place, in your town. So, yeah. And you, if you are from Kavango, for example, and what is your take? And also from other regions as well, is this a good initiative that you wish your region would take or would initiate? Looking at also, he talks about a lot of decentralization, that it's actually, paraphrasing, that it's a kind of like a lip services. It's a lip service, decision are made, from Windhoek, not really, by the people in the region, who knows, the situation that are, who actually knows the context and the situation in which people are finding themselves. So those are the changes that they want to see. And what do you think about certain aspect that you have raised? So 08333-66091, 08333-66091. That's the number you can get to me in the studio. So our time is 56 minutes past the hour of 8, and we go up to 10 o'clock when we'll be giving, when we'll be handing over the airtime to Tate France in Windhoek. All right, so make sure that you come through on this one. 08333-66091.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the
I. All right. My time is about 58 minutes past the hour of 8, and good morning. And this is Unpacking the Day with me, your host, the Big Mike. All right. Let's bring an end to this, to the first office item, but you're most welcome. I thought there would be, you know, people from Kavango's, even if you're in Windhoek, actually saying, well, that's a good initiative. And we would love to see many other, or maybe you're from Oshana, you're from here, and you're from Commerce, and think, yeah, there are things that are happening in our regions, and we need to take, you know, we need to take the power in our hands. We need to bring the power to the people. Power to the people and power for the people. Yeah. So maybe that's basically what this forum is about. You know? Yeah. So it's let's see what happens. And maybe that would be a model or an example that other region can follow as well. Yeah. So go and see what they are doing, and then maybe replicate that in your own region as well. So 081-08333-66091. So if you want to react to our to this interview. All right, just do that while we still have time. So what is this?
Oh, I have a business idea, but I need help to get it started.
My dear, I have the perfect solution for you. Look no further than the Basecamp Business Incubator.
Basecamp Business Incubator? What's that?
The Basecamp Business Incubator is a startup incubator and innovation hub on a mission to educate, equip, and empower visionary entrepreneurs. Tune into the business and economics segment every Monday live on Eagle FM from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. to hear about the testimonies from the young entrepreneurs that have walked through the hallways of the Basecamp Business Incubator. Visit www.basecamphub.com for more information and start your business journey now.
Well, that's an opportunity. Make sure that you get that number and, you know, start your business. Okay? So, all right. And good morning. Good morning. It's a beautiful, beautiful day. It has been raining last night. It has been raining, actually, these days. So the weather is good. The weather is together. But, you know, this part of the world, you know, it can rain as much as, but, you know, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, you're sweating again. So, yeah, but it's a good weather. So it has rained last night. Hopefully rain in your areas as well. Yeah, so, all right, let's move forward. Let's, there are other stories that equally important. All right. So now, for nearly 20 years now, government has announced major hospital project for places like Ondangwa, Kurenkuru, Ochivarongo, Gobabis, and Windhoek. Is Oshakati not there? Okay. But most of these projects, we're talking about, you know, hospital projects. So most of these projects are still incomplete, either incomplete or delayed or not even properly found or not even properly off the ground. Okay? Nothing has been done. Nothing. Nada. Eh? So, meanwhile, as you know, the people who need these services are still actually traveling long distances. And the reasons why this project where the aims of this project, some of them is actually to cut long distances, people traveling from Katima to Windhoek. You know, because that service, that care service, you know, that healthcare service is not available neither in Rundu nor in Katima. So people have to travel to Windhoek. And some of these hospital projects were actually to make sure that, you know, those challenges has been addressed. So challenges of traveling long distances, waiting in overcrowded facilities, you know, carrying the cost of delay in their own bodies. Now, these people are carrying now the cost of delays in their own body, their own pocket. Yeah? So because you have now to travel all the way, you know, from Oshakati to Windhoek or from anywhere else, you know, you carry that in your own pocket. And in most cases, sometimes with your own lives. Sometimes with your own lives. So, now, my fellow Namibians, let us bring this one, you know, let's bring this one to what is happening on the ground, what is really happening on the ground, and let's forget, you know, big speeches for a moment. I want us to forget the big speeches for a moment and picture a real person, okay? Forget about what you have been promised, you know, and those big speeches that we often hear. And really picture a real person in a situation, a pregnant mother in a village, you know, far from a proper hospital. So, and you have heard stories. And we even hear stories there was a story in Kavango West, you know, where people actually died. So because they couldn't get transport in time, to get to the hospitals. So a patient in pain being moved from one town to another because the nearest facility cannot help. So your nearest clinic cannot help, and it's probably not open at 12, in the morning or 3 in the morning. So, and that's where this actually story starts. That's where the story starts. Yeah? It's not in tender file or something like that, you know? That's where it starts. We don't have to look at now in terms of, you know, the tender has failed or whatever it was given, and then, you know, it starts with the real life. This is the issue. Sometimes we focus more on administrative, why it didn't happen. So not in the ministry office. It start on the road. Okay? It start in fear. Yeah? It start with the question, if a hospital was promised years ago. Yes, in some cases, 20 years ago, as we said. Why are people still suffering like this? Why are still people suffering like this? And at the heart of this matter, at the heart of this matter is that, or let me say, the heart of the matter is that Ondangwa, for example, Ondangwa Referral Hospital was first announced in 2007. Let's take Ondangwa, for example. Announced in 2007, not 2017, 2007. How many years is that? Is it 19? 19 years? 2007? Yeah, 19 years. I wasn't good at math. If I haven't got it correct, it's okay. I have failed math. No, I haven't failed math. I didn't get a good math. I didn't get a good mark, but I haven't failed it. So now, Ondangwa Referral Hospital, for example, was first announced in 2007. If we look at what the other one, Kurenkuru District Hospital and Ochivarongo Referral Hospital were announced in 2014. Now, these are hospitals that I'm talking, they are not existing yet. But this is when they were announced. Gobabis upgrade were announced around 2020, but only part of that works in what only that part of that is actually work that the work has been completed recently, you know. So then there is which one is also then there is the Windhoek District Hospital in Havana. Remember that one? So it was revived from earlier plans and formally announced again. Yeah, it was formally announced again in 2022. In 2022, how many years? 6 years from now? Or 4 years? 2020, 2023, 2024, 2025, 2026. You know, still 4 years. So with construction still largely at early work stages. So there are some construction that are actually taking place, but still at early stages. And that's not a guarantee that it's going to finish, because we have, for example, Chivarongo, it started fencing and all that. And how many years? When was it actually now? What was announced? 2014. And now the fence that was on are broken, and you know. So now then there is when people say, these hospitals are still a dream, you know, well, people are not really exaggerating. They are not exaggerating. In some cases, that dream is, when you think how old some of these, you know, in some cases, those dream is old enough now to write an exam, you know. If you are 19, if it has taken 19 or it's about 20 something now. So it's actually old enough to write an exam, to find a job. You're old enough to find a job. So that means this dream happened when somebody were not, there's someone who now, how old they are, they could be about 20 something now. They are good. They are old enough now to find a job. Even some maybe old enough to start a family. You see, that's how long people have been waiting, you know, for these hospitals that has been announced years and years ago, and there's nothing to be. And this is one thing is that this the reason why this is matter, why this story matters really. It is in the daily newspaper. So a hospital is not just a building with walls and bed. Okay, so it's not just okay. No, it is a time saved in emergency. When you're looking at it in this way, so if that was built, it would save time in emergency for someone coming from Katima to Windhoek, from someone coming from Otapi to Windhoek. You understand? It is a safer berth. So it is a safer berth for someone who actually about to deliver, but so cannot be able to because of the distance. The contraction come in the middle of the night, and you know, now you're rushing to the hospital that is about how many? Let's say, for example, about 300 kilometers from where you are. So you understand? it is, you think of it in human term, it is a safer birth. You know, it is a safer surgery. It's not just about a building that is there or not. Eh? It is less pressure on the referral centers. The referral centers that we have now, they are overcrowded. So that's what it means. It is dignity for people who should not be forced to travel hundreds of kilometers. We should not be traveling hundreds of kilometers for care. That should be closer to home. And how many years people have been waiting? Eh? So when this promised hospital do not materialize, when they don't materialize, the burden shift to all the facilities. And that's why you find those facilities like Onanjokwe, Katutura, Oshakati, Rundu, and others that are, they are so stretched. Eh? They are so stretched. And even the article reminds us that Onanjokwe, for example, which is supposed to be relieved now by the Ondangwa, the one that was supposed to build in Ondangwa, the Onanjokwe itself traces its roots back to 1911. 1911. Think about that. 1911. Now, in 2026, a modern growing nation is still relying on heavily on infrastructure whose story began more than a century ago. Huh? And when you, there was something, what was he talking about? Was it a job, professor? Was talking about how some infrastructures has been dilapidated, and it's not the first one. You know, many people have complained. This actually traces its root back to 1911. That's a centuries ago. Eh? So, now, I think let's... That's a very important point. That's a very important point because Namibia is not dealing with a small clinic problem here. Yeah? We're not just dealing with small clinic problems only. This is a system problem. A referral or a district hospital is meant to take pressure off the next level. Yeah? It's not about just clinic problem only. It's we're talking about a referral or a district hospital. It's meant to shorten the chain between patients and treatment. That's what it's meant to do. If Ondangwa had been built as planned, pressure on Onanjokwe could have been reduced. If Havana had moved faster than how it was planned, Katutura could get some breathing space. For now, it can't. It could have got some breathing space. So if Kurenkuru, for example, if Kurenkuru and Ochwarongo were functioning as promised, we would have fewer patients might need to be, you know, pushed onward to already crowded centers. So, yeah, I think that's the issue right there. So the real issue is not just where is the building. That's not just about where is the building. The real issue is what happened to the entire health system when each missing hospital creates a traffic jam of human suffering. Because of that, that's why you have those traffic jam in Katutura. That's why you have those in Kurenkuru. In Rundu, in Onanjokwe. So now the government says the delay come from funding constraint, failed contractors, global economic pressure, and the after effect of COVID-19. So, and to be fair, those are real factors, are legitimate, valid reasons. COVID disrupted supply chains, a lot of supply chains. You know, money became tighter, and some contractors underperformed. As I said, those are legitimate, real factors, and we have seen that in many sectors, not only in health. So it's not only like this is only happening in health. We have seen that in other sectors as well. So in Gobabis, contractors were removed after delays, and part of the project is only now moving forward, moving towards the completion because of that. And these are now like, these are contracts that have been removed. There are no any punishment to those contractors. And then you hire, you know, it's so much money wasted. Sometimes you have actually two or three contractors actually doing the same thing over a period of time. And none of them actually finishing the job and run away with millions and millions of dollars. Eh? So for Gobabis, it's only recently they were the project's now, you know, moving towards completion. When now the contract were removed, those were delaying the whole thing were removed. But then you have to have a new contract that you're still going to pay. Probably as much amount more closer to what you have paid the other one who haven't completed. So for Havana, for Windhoek Havana Hospital, the ministry says more tenders and enabling work are being launched while more funding is still being sourced. So when you're talking about the more funding being sourced, that means there aren't money available. The delay will continue because we are being, you know, we're still being sourced. Eh? And this is coming, and we're talking about that this is coming from, it's not just that this is coming for this administration. Some of these projects are coming from two and three administration. And these are state are government priorities. And in some cases, sometimes they are funded. In some cases, they are funded. The problem is only, you know, it's issues that we have in terms of contractors as well, as we talked about in terms of contractors and things like that. Or money within the ministry has been, you know, diverted to other priorities rather than to this. For Ondangwa and Kurenkuru, studies are being updated again. They are being updated again. So, yes, there are some explanations. There are explanations. But my dear listener, explanation is not the same thing as accountability. I think that's a big difference. Explanation is not the same as accountability. That is where the harder questions start. Because when one project is delayed for a year or two, maybe you say bad luck or tough economy or contractor problem. If it's 1 or 2 years, yeah, then you said, yeah, possibly bad luck or, you know, it has been a tough economy maybe and a contract problem or something like that. But when several hospitals, we're not talking about one, we talk about several hospital promises dragged on across multiple years, across multiple administrations, across multiple budget cycles, then we are no longer dealing with a bad luck. Eh? That's no longer bad luck. That's no longer bad luck. That's a pattern. That's dealing with a pattern. You're actually now dealing with a pattern. A pattern telling us something deeper is wrong. Something deeper is absolutely, absolutely wrong. So, Something deeper is absolutely wrong. Let's get to the caller.
Very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, morning, Dad Mike. How are you?
I'm fine. And yourself?
It's lovely, my friend. Raining this side.
Good raining in Windhoek?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Mapumbo mea, nyuhanmo mea, ndi siya ham ningiku toilet. Oh, natango tangkano. Ah, yeah, yeah.
Ari say koringwa.
Ay, nyay.
No, tiri mo na, ayawati, ah. Dato buja na siya, no, ah. Mwele naga nebi, tiba to bro, it's out of love. Now they are running out of beer even. Now I'm going to stay local.
Okwa tuwa, neni manga muli kompa daedu? Sa siku nyaka
kukasha? No, kaku nasha, no. Yeah. Ukwe tampopi, si nasha, no, sige? No, sa ne unyan, maa ndaka japone kasha, no, kwe ingwa hindi na pulonga basho na man.
Yeah.
I would have to come here again and set up of something. People are in the comfortable air condition and something. What?
Yeah, no, no. He's talking about the upcoming Kavango Forum coming up on this coming Saturday, and the forum it's about really they said the Kavango saying that we are tired because. The development of this town, which the lack of it actually is not in our own hands. Rundu is one of the not only Rundu but Kavango is one of the regions that has been really really underdeveloped. And the people are now they saying we had enough. We need all the stakeholders. And we need to take our own development into our own hands and then come up with more, way forward. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Way forward to how to navigate, some issues that our region is experiencing. He said, you know, we talking about decentralization. He said that, you know, decentralization is not really happening. You know, decisions are made in Windhoek, where people are sitting. That's why he said, people sitting in the aircon. But the people on the ground here, it's totally, totally different. They are not the one actually making decision that are affecting their own people, you know?
Which is true.
Yeah.
That's why the other time we are talking, I don't know what you were talking about, and then I told you that, you know, the problem is here that even the whole budget.
Yeah.
So this more presented with Living Windhoek.
Yeah.
And remember, even the company of Windhoek, those more presented which are going to the region, they follow.
Yeah.
The company from Windhoek, they follow that. In,
exactly.
That was more presented outside. And it's what is happening. If you look, when it was, there was a police was supposed to be built somewhere, and then the company is from Windhoek.
Yeah.
They went to mess up. And they are still getting away with it. Up to now, they are still getting tenders.
Mm, you see?
Yeah. This is a thing which really, really, really need to be addressed.
Yeah.
When you are talking about accountability, this is one of them. Supposed to be a priority first. Because, candidly, we do things, but we don't take people to account.
Yeah.
Yeah. This person can mess up at the Minister of Education, then later on you see him at the trade, he mess up again, then later on you see him at the Minister of Health. It's like that.
Mm, yeah.
The whole 36 years, we are just recycling one person. And this person is not even competent, he's messing up like nobody business.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the thing is that when you talk about even like now, Kavango, or Angwena.
Mm.
These are most populated region. And when you look, just imagine, even a young kid who's in grade one,
yeah,
walking like a 15 kilometer to go to school. Guys, are we serious? And we are talking about 36 years. And on top of that, you have people who finish their teacher's diploma, in the street.
Yeah.
Without a work. But you know, the kid who is traveling 15 kilometers to get education. It's a problem in Angwena and the Kavango.
That's the issue that I was talking about now. The hospitals that were promised, you know, 20 years that were announced 20 years or 20 something years ago, you know, some of them haven't started. We're talking about Onyangwa. The Onyangwa District Hospital hasn't happened. Mm-hmm. We're talking about Kurenkuru. We're talking about Ochivarongo. And Havana.
Talk about Havana.
Also, Havana is awesome.
Nothing. They weren't even in Gama, what? Groundbreaking, what? Yeah. There's nothing happening there. You go there, there's nothing.
So.
Then wondering now why, there was a purpose for it to mention to people. Are we selling dreams to the people, what?
Yeah, that's the dream. And normally these are things that are said during election times,
times,
and then just gone quiet. And as I said, if it's only about 1 or 2 years, then you can blame the contractor, or you can blame the economy, or whatever the case may be. But if it's about several years.
And sometimes, you know, Mike, if there's no money now, they're talking about COVID. They're talking about Iran and what, or Israel and Russia and what. We understand, but sometimes it just set aside a little money.
Yeah.
Then you go buy one, maybe you construct first one for which you know is a priority, like Ondangwa. Then you move to Chuarongo. Do you remember? One thing is very sad is that just imagine Wangwena, Kavango, what else? Omshati.
Yeah.
They're sending people to Oshakati or Nanjokwe.
Yeah. Just imagine. And the other thing is on Nanjokwe. You know when Nanjokwe was, you know, it was built 1911. You know, it's about centuries ago.
Centuries.
We're talking about centuries ago. Yeah.
I'm telling you, just imagine.
Yeah.
How long is ago? Just made 1911. It's about 100 something.
Century.
Oh my goodness! And then we are here talking about we still a young man. 36 years is a lot of years, my friend. Man, people can make it with 10 years. They can change their economy within 10 years time.
Yeah.
Because in 5 years, you concentrate maybe like let me say now, we are just facing everything. Like from water, clean water, you talk about electricity, you talk about even the road network, you talk about even health now. There are so many. At least, if even basic necessity, we're about to deal with it. Like, all of our people now, they are able to drink clean water.
Yeah.
Okay, we concentrate on electricity. Then we face electricity. Okay, now we are
Kwika ovingi nukukara norupa ondando ya teke yukia nja oshimariva. Olo peresente dano kumyeze vitatu moshimariva. Olo peresente umurongo kumyeze hambu umwe moshimariva. Olo peresente umirongo ivari na dano kumyeze umurongo na ivari moshimariva. Itororela ondengu jima yu ungura na wakove na wina onyano kife. Ashi esho imba ya kupe oshimariva shishihina omaruhiro. Imba o maoronga neno uyebu haka enina itako na wina rishangisa jimu.
All right. So,
What I was saying, Meg, is that at least we're supposed to concentrate on one problem now or two. But when you're having a multiply problem, it's very hard.
But the thing is, this several hospital promises dragged on across multiple administrations.
Yeah, you see.
You know. And across multiple budget cycles. It's not just something that, you know, it's not this administration. It's across, you know, multiple administration and multiple budget cycles. You understand? And we still, we haven't built any district hospitals.
Nothing at all.
Health centers that cannot be able to attend to much of the, that's why you have people traveling from Katima to Windhoek. From Outapi to Windhoek, you know?
Yeah. Just imagine.
So, and in most cases, sometimes people don't make it.
Sometimes, okay, you make it if you are, you know, you have to wait for 5 days to see a doctor, and the doctor is referring, you know now that this is a big problem, which I cannot deal with, you need to go to Windhoek.
Yeah, sometimes.
Will you make it if you've been waiting for for a week, or sometimes 2 weeks even.
The emergency, the ambulance wouldn't just take you. You have to wait until
you wait before the whole bus is full. Yeah, you see now. And the other kind of thing, what they do, even one person can be carried with what? Airplane.
Airlifted with a helicopter or something.
We don't even have an ambulance.
You have to wait.
Wait for emergency.
You have to wait.
That's what I'm saying. At least there's a state progress when talking about vulnerable, they are no more going to what? Private. Which indeed, later on, I think when they are bringing what they call now? Namibian A.
Yeah.
Instead of Namibia. Namibian A, maybe one day we see that even Australia, they are going to have what? This private taxi bus. Airplane. Because remember, if a governor from Wangwani is sick, do you think he's waiting for that bus to be full? those are things which I think is well done. So there's some grand that mainly see things out of the box. And these are things with the
have you listened to the National Parliament, you know, when they were talking about that vision, 2026, vision April 2026? So it has been now postponed to next year.
Again?
In terms of, in terms of my goodness.
Don't tell me, man. Because it's supposed to be starting in the April. What happened?
The 1st of April.
They postponed. Well, if they do that, there's only hope we were saving for her that at least she done something. Now postponing will make it so worse. I don't think it will going to materialize.
Because there are those who said this can be challenged in court because the person contributes to their medical aid. I understand. It's not for free.
No, but you need to go to Australia because it is a government, isn't it?
Yeah, but...
Government to government is better. Why is she...
It is. The whole question is that, is this an encouragement? Are you encouraging people that they should be able to go to government hospitals, improve them and they encourage to go there? Or it's a rule? If it's a rule that can be challenged by law,
then they must come up with a law quickly. Well, I see Job Ampanda somewhere is talking about what? There are what people want to demonstrate what something, but I see it never take a place. Yeah. But I don't know why they have to postpone. Seriously, like now I lose hope. I lose hope. Next year again.
You might not even hear it again. You know?
Yeah, so, it will die natural death.
It will just that natural death, you know?
So, exactly.
When we get in the office, and this is what happened most of the time, we just get excited. I need to leave some kind of a legacy. Sometimes something is not well thought. Completely. This is a good idea. It's a good idea.
My friend, 100% or 120%.
It really needs to be thought out because the doctors, you remember I brought it here, there was a group of doctors that were not actually consulted. They were not widely consulted. So, because when even it comes to coding or something like that, we still actually, with that NASF, not NASF, CIMAS, are still coding from 2014 or something like that. That need to change and all. So there were issues that they were highlighting, you know? So, now, she seemed to actually hit, you know, her head in the wall. Hello? You know?
No. Then they have to postpone. No, the thing is, Mike.
Yeah.
What is it done with what our institution? It just supposed to be the same way. Because remember, some of we register, like me myself, I went there to register.
Yeah.
But we still owing. Like me, I'm still owing NAS. I think it's now it's collected to 29,000. Yeah. Which, if I'm done and I find a job, I'm still going to be owing that institution, have to pay.
Yeah.
It's not like a kind of free. This is supposed to be the way it is. If you are able to pay yourself in your own pocket without money for government, then you can go to a private doctor, nobody cares.
Yeah.
But if it's a medical aid for government, hospital to public hospital, it's not supposed to be like that. Compulsory, you like it or not, supposed to be like that. But if you are having to consult and what, no, I don't think there will be something again. But I think we get too excited early. That's why maybe they have to set our dream.
Yeah, no, definitely. So, yeah, so, but the other thing is that the other thing is also that we have to be realistic in terms of when you have to think of that, you need to improve the infrastructure. First, this is not only, and imagine how many people who have been using the private now moving to the public. With already, imagine already
overcrowded
at this, you know. It's a good idea, but practically, you have to do a lot before this, you start actually moving to there. You know? So there has been budget.
No, but Mike.
Has been budget to improve the infrastructure. Because you need to improve the infrastructure. No matter
what. But Mike.
Yeah.
Mike, for me, I don't think that would be issue so much when it comes to infrastructure. As long as our honorable, they stand attending. I'm telling you, the problem with transport is not that bad. Huh? The problem is just service delivery.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, the next day they will be there in their phone. But when it's honorable is there, I'm telling you, everybody is doing his job properly.
Yeah.
Even the doctor have to show up.
Definitely.
Yeah, so it was going to improve. Our service delivery.
I think We are not at where they need some touch up. Yeah, then they need some touch up. At least they need some improvement.
No, but they're supposed to force it.
Yeah.
They're supposed to force it because the moment they force it, it was on the 1st April, where they're supposed to start going to Worcester.
Yeah. But you remember when we were talking
around September day we're supposed to be already infrastructure is going to improve everything. But if we postpone it for next year, I'm telling you, Mike, this will die natural death. You're not going to hurt anymore
it's gonna die.
I'm telling you.
Definitely. I can cut my finger off that you'll never hear that again.
I'm telling you, it's gone. Like that is done. It's done already. No, but really, I think we are losing hope, really.
Yeah.
Because this was, I'm telling you, everybody was clapping hands that, this is a good thing. Indeed.
Yeah.
But anyway, let me give other people a chance.
All right, man. It's slow today, yeah. I don't know why, yeah. All right.
Oh, yeah, maybe because of the rain and people are so busy.
Yeah. All right.
Like now
but
some of us have been called because of people want to use your hot water. Yeah. The element may be dead for last year now.
Thanks for coming through, man. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. 0808-333-66091. It has been quiet this morning. I don't know. All right. Very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Bom dia, minha família, meu primo.
Meu primo, como está?
Como estás ali? Aqui está a chover muito bem.
Está bom. Estou bom. Tô fixe.
Ashuvali, the rain there, the Ashuvali, come in.
Wind.
Now, you safala Tashuvali, Tashuvali Bay. It's raining well.
Yeah, it's raining well, yeah.
Yeah, Tashuvali and Winter Bay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Também aqui vem do que também da chover.
Ok.
Também no Chataxo, também ali no Andango da chover, também no Angiva da chover, é boa coisa, pá.
Ah, that's muito obrigado.
É muito bom, yeah, muito obrigado.
Muito bom, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I think it's raining just all over, but it's good.
Yeah, no, that's good, yeah.
Yeah, but mate, you know, I don't know what we exactly want or like or do.
Yeah.
When this issue of the hospitals, they were like, no, the things are gonna change now. The public servant, they're gonna use public hospitals. Everybody was happy, but now it's like they're not happy anymore. But don't forget, you also have women rights. You have your right. You vote for rights. So now, if you vote for your right, you cannot be forced to use what you don't want to use.
Yeah, no, that's as I said. That I think. How would I say that? When the initiative has been thought, maybe it's not properly, you know, thought through. Because that's when I said, well, I contribute. Even if I'm a government employee, I contribute to my medical aid, you know, and therefore I have a right to choose where I want to be treated.
Yes, that's your right.
You understand? Yeah. Yes. So it is my right to choose where I want to be treated. Yeah.
Yes.
So.
Yeah.
And that becomes a problematic because you can't force everybody to go to a state hospital. Yeah, so...
It's true. You can't force everybody. It's like you are forcing us just to listen to your radio.
Yeah.
What about the other radios?
Yeah.
No, you know, I think that was maybe a political speech, but I think that was not the idea. Because we have our rights.
Ideally, it's a good idea. It's a good idea to say, look, let's improve our services. Because the challenge is here. If I'm cooking the food, but I'm not eating that food. I'm going to eat on the restaurant, but I'm actually giving you this food to eat, but I'm not eating it. So I think that's the reason of the government to say, look, if we're providing a service, we should be able, it should be good enough for ourselves as well. I think that's the logic. It should be good enough for ourselves. We should be able to attend. We should be also be able to access this service as well. Why, if the cuckoo in the village can access it, why not us? Eh?
Yes. No. The idea was good.
Yeah.
But we also used to have. We also need to use our right, our preference, what I like to do. So, for example, now we are going to Oshakati.
Yeah.
But there is a bus, there is a truck, and there's a plane. And I have money. Should I go to the truck because it's mandatory? No. It won't work. But I think the idea is good. Maybe they need just to put up a follow-up system. Follow-up system to people, like a suggestion box where you find something, you post, you drop it there. Even by the shop sometimes.
Just hold on for a few seconds. That's coming up. Yeah.
Kapena we sharadingi yoku inyanyo za karisho moza no kukombo tse ya kuku Easter Soccer Tournament mwike ndanjono erondo tuwaimina anopoka pare kumawaza no kutse ya kuku mwishitoporwasha eheke district tetanyanyo kilo nipamu shinasha nundunda wa mangesha fero lande sharadiwe yomarandi thiro kondando wa shiki ochema liwa chondora lima tere gerigatano shinasha no yari natangwa wedopo watasana na akapa mwongozi honora oheta tuwaimu eriari one ombari eriari onano ndatuno hamano upoi mwanene esharadiwe mbara.
All right.
Yeah, that make before I conclude my thing.
Yeah.
You know, I have a concern that make, you know. You had the issue of the guy who killed his two daughters, eh?
Yeah, no, that's something.
We're moving from the topic. You're moving away from the topic.
Just give me, please, 2 seconds. 2 seconds. Maybe you'll get something from it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, this guy killed his two daughters, but now this guy is looked like he's a guilty one. He's the one who's a criminal one. But what is the cause? Because of this sister calling this guy or family or whatever, calling to tell him to say, this is not your daughter. What if maybe me or you, even I call you now to tell you, my friend, how do you feel it? Who's the cause of this? They think they should look beyond that issue. They must go beyond that to say, what is the cause of this guy to kill these two daughters?
Yeah, but still, that cannot justify you killing killing the children. So,
have you one day get angry? You know,
you're making this. You're creating? You're creating a really really big problem. You're saying, if a person, let's say for example, you're creating an environment where you say, if a person kills somebody because they were angry, they can't be held accountable because you make them angry. No, you can control your anger. Control your anger.
No, what I want, we have people who are abusing others emotionally. And they get away from it. Now, if you call me now to tell me my daughters are not my kids, how do I feel? Should I feel happy?
I understand. Yes. I definitely agree with you that the way the things might be that we communicate to people may trigger what those people would do. But still, what you do, it's your decision. So you should account. You should be accountable for what you've done.
But our people need really to be educated. That time. You know, most of this divorce you have just because of words. Woman doesn't know how to answer his husband, doesn't know how to talk with friend of people,
you're
saying.
Yeah, you're right.
We need to educate them to say, these two people, let us have a way how to communicate with each other. Because most of this divorce we have, most of these killers, most of people who are killing each other, just because of the neighbor or a sister say so. Why? No, it's not good. They need to come up with a system to say, if you provoke somebody with just telling whatever you want to say because you are those right, they must follow you sometimes, and you must be example for somebody not to do the same thing tomorrow.
There are things that you can regulate, but there are other interactions that you may not regulate, and within those interactions, things happen. It's just that we should be able to control ourselves, self-regulation emotionally. So, yeah, but that could be another. You must listen to Mind Betters. If you listen to Mind Better, this Saturday program that I carry normally talks about those kind of stuff, okay?
I'll start following you.
Saturday, Saturday 11 to 1
o'clock. We need to talk about these kind of things for us to have a better community, a better Namibia.
Yeah, those are the issues that we talk on that side, yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, now I think let me give a chance to others also to participate. I think
all right. Yeah, no.
Thank you so much. Obrigado e bom dia para você ali.
Obrigado. All right. 08333-66091. 08333-66091. Very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Morning, Dr. Mike. How are you?
I'm fine. And yourself?
Damn, don't worry, but the topic is nice.
Yeah.
Regarding the utilization or the, you started about the contracts and tenders and all those things and the hospitals.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me, I was impressed yesterday, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
When I passed by this central hospital and what's happening there.
The central hospital, the Commerce.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, this one, this our central hospital.
Okay.
In Windhoek. In Windhoek.
Okay, yeah.
I was impressed, to be honest with you.
Mm.
I was there, I went to see my niece there.
Yeah.
But when you enter into the, you can see people are busy working.
Yeah.
They are improving the facility. I think if any, most of the people have gone there, they'll tell you, it's very difficult even to smell medicine in that hospital.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, you're right. Even many of our hospitals have really, really, really improved.
Yes.
You can go to any one of the hospitals it's used. Some years ago, you go in those hospitals and you don't want to be in there. You know, that's just the smell.
You smell medicine the moment you enter.
Yeah.
It's medicine that is there.
Yeah.
You are smelling.
Majority of hospitals now, you go in and they are very clean.
You feel very clean.
Yeah. No, that's very true.
They are even, in fact, very clean, more better than some other offices.
Yeah. No, that's true. Yeah, no, that's very true. Yeah.
Yes. So, for me, that's a very good step in a good direction.
Yeah.
Now, we argue that everybody have got a right. I don't have a problem. No one don't have a right. By birth, you are not given rights. A right, you are born with rights.
Mm.
Yes. You have got the right to survive. You have got the right to breathe. You have got the right to do. Yes. In as much as you might have the right to choose. Eh?
Yeah.
But you can choose private or whatever. The question comes, when you choose private, in whose interest are you doing it?
Yeah, no, I probably choose, my own interest. As an individual, it's my own interest.
You are doing it for your own interest.
Yeah.
Because when you are choosing for your own interest, now, for that moment, yes. But in the future, now ask yourself another question.
Yeah.
Private, you pay. Public, you pay also. There's nothing that we don't pay.
Yeah.
But the payment system, the other one, the same public, which you work for, which is your government, which is our government, where we work for, subsidize us with the healthy services.
Mm.
And they say, no, I'm willing to build this self-service for your betterment, not for today only, but even for the future.
Mm.
Or even when your medical aid, which I've given you, which you have taken to the private man, is depleted.
Yeah.
Because remember, that person one day when your medical aid, which I've paid you, is depleted, I'm not going to add it.
Yeah.
Where will you go?
Mm.
Will you come to me again to the public, which is not the, which you don't like?
Yeah.
Eh?
Yeah. No, the point is, it's very, very clear. I think the whole thing is, the whole idea is, it's very good. It's because you said we are spending so much money in a small sectors, but where we have the majority of people, that's not where we're spending money actually.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, and that's what they want to revert, that let's spend more money where we have the majority of people.
Yes.
You know?
Okay. Yeah. Can we also do this? Medical aid, is it a right for every institution to provide medical aid to their members?
No, it's not a right. It's a benefit. Yeah.
It's a benefit. So can we say that, in as much as we are saying, can we agree that all organizations, because let's say, can they cut half of their medical aid, because they also have got social responsibility. Let's say this, cut it in half, to your workers, half should go to the other sector, to public.
Yeah.
Because then we are servicing everybody equally. Sooner or later you discover that even now as I speak to you, people go to their private doctors to write medication. They cannot afford that medicine in the shop, in the pharmacies.
Mm.
They go back to the same state hospital, they change the prescription with a state doctor.
Yeah. Mm.
And they get the medicine from the same state hospital they are claiming they don't want to go to.
Yeah.
Okay, when you're on medical aid, is your parents also on that medical aid?
Not really. They are not, actually.
Okay, would you be happy over your... Are you always happy when your parents are sick, they are going to
to a state hospital
you don't like?
Yeah.
Because, are you always happy? The person who gave birth to you, he cannot afford medical aid, or which you can afford.
Mm.
Then you are given an idea, say, look, let's upgrade this facility with this medical aid might give you. Let's upgrade it. So also your parents can also utilize the same service, equal service, like you and them.
Yeah.
Would you be happy?
Definitely not. Definitely not.
You see. So you would love your parents to go to the hospital when you are, even if you are sitting in Ondangwa, there you are at the mic, and the, one of your cousins, your parents is here in Windoku, and the parents is not sitting all right, the parent, and you are told, no, we are taking mommy or daddy to the hospital. You know the facility, you know it's public, they are going to state hospital, either Katutura or, either Katutura or wherever, Mugabe, Robert Mugabe, whatever. Then you know, you are guaranteed, you'll be happy that, no, okay, when everything is done, please let us know. You see? You won't even think of spending money. The moment they tell you your parents is not feeling all right when you are there, the next thing you think of is what? Donation in the family. Donation is how much? Because medication is costing maybe medication will be costing that much. So you say every member of the family must pay 5,000. And you guys, it's on the 15th. Now, it's a case 22. At home, there's no food. Your parents are sick.
Why are you making the scenario so bad? You know?
No, because these things will happen whether you like it or not, it will come to pass.
It does. Yeah, definitely.
So let us all of us agree as adults, we are going to grow. We are above 50s.
Yeah.
The white man's hospital, which we call private, does not take anybody for free. The moment your money is finished, they chase you out. When you get older, you go on retirement. That's the colleagues who are on retirement.
Yeah, but you know what the funny thing is? The other funny thing is that the guy who actually treats you at public hospital, public hospital, is the same guy that treats you at public hospital, at private hospital.
At private, yes.
So it's no different. Sometimes many of the private doctors are actually, they are the one that are actually providing also service in the public hospital.
Yes.
You know, it's the same person. It's just that you're paying extra more to get maybe, especially medication. My issue is this, okay? My issue would be, because my issue would be, it's just medication. What we do is that, why can't even, you know, the public, the CIMA, the public medical aid, why can't I use that to go and get, my medication? Even if I don't have medical aid, I come to the hot state hospital, I must be able to the pharmacy, and the pharmacy bill the hospital. Yeah? Why can't we do that?
Let me tell you one thing. I've told you this. Medicine, government have got medication.
Yeah.
Medicine, government buys medicine. Even these farmers, they go and steal from the same.
It's actually where they get it. They get it from them. Yes. From them.
So why are they like to ask that they are the ones who are providing?
Yeah.
Tell them, do they provide the medication for TB?
Yeah.
Private doctors.
No, they don't.
Go and ask any if they can afford. They'll tell you it's expensive. Who should provide it? Government. Why? So if that medication is so expensive and government can afford it, what tells you that government cannot afford Panado? Which they also even are not even afford. They used to go steal again. From state.
Yeah.
You see, the point is, you see, we are so divided to the point that we have forgotten one thing, that power, we have portrayed power and the position to be the ultimate part of life.
Sometimes it's perception that we create. We tend to create some perception and thinking that, you know, private means good and public means bad. You know?
Yes.
And that's,
go to any, I've been in this physio, go to any physio, hospital, whatever, and go to the physio of the state. The physio of the state is the best. Yes. These guys are going to chow your money by telling you, no, move this leg this side, move that leg this side. You do not even sit on anything. If they are serious with the healthy, go check one wheelchair of a baby. It's more than 25,000. Now, a poor mother who cannot afford that chair, who lives in the village or in the area, they also, because remember, nature does not choose. So this person, They have got also a child who needs that wheelchair.
Yeah.
Can they, and they cannot afford it. So are you telling us you are discriminating? This private thing, let us be honest, it is discriminatory. Mm. People are making money out of that. It's not for free.
Yeah.
The day they'll stop making money, government must demand that even when the money is depleted, you should continue treating that person.
Yeah.
Believe me, you. That's the last day you see private medical aid.
All right, yes. Man. We
yes.
come to
so,
the...
So let us be honest.
Yeah.
The president is doing great.
Yeah.
And the things of saying the time, there's nothing like time. You cannot have a village which looks nice, if you'd never stayed there when you started building it.
Mm.
We should go all of us move to the state the way it is, then we fix it.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, man.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for coming through.
All the best.
All right.
All right. And then that's, it's 1 minute past the hour of 10. And that, I'm trading in, Tate France at time. Yeah, that brings us to the end of our show this morning. And today's, takeaway is, it's actually simple. This hospital story is really about trust. You know, Namibia has plans, Namibia has budget, Namibia has identified the need. But for too many communities, the promised hospital is still drawing. It's still study, it's still fence plot, it's still, you know, delayed tender, you know. So until this project move from paper to patients, you know, until it move from paper to patient, the public is right to ask hard questions, you know, because in healthcare, delay is never neutral. Delay is never neutral. Delay has a cost. It has a cost, and usually the cost is paid by the most vulnerable Namibian. They are the one who actually paid the cost, you know. And yeah, that brings us to the end. And so let me hand over to Mbarangaja. You know, Mbarangaja kali shoshige. You know, kali shoma hungaula. You know, hungaula hungi. I got that. Okay. Yeah. All right. Let me hand you over to Mbarangaja. Kama tiko apofi. So coming up with Kuthamosha, from me, Mwako Shoveli, I wish you a very good day. And be productive. So we have a country to build. Thank you, and see you tomorrow.